Galatians chapter 5 and the first verse. I want us to focus on the fifth verse this evening, eagerly awaiting our hope. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to look at our Christian hope. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You were severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You were fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Just a few questions to stimulate your thinking this evening. What is your hope as a Christian? And how strong is that hope? We see in the text that there's those people who started circumcising themselves again, hoping to be justified and made righteous through keeping the law, forgetting what is wrong with us. In order to keep the law, you need to do that perfectly. And I think any one of us who's been around for about 5 minutes with an adult conscience, and even if it's not an adult conscience, even our children know this, you can't keep the rules. You want to, but you can't. Even when you want to, you can't. You break them. There are things inside of you that make it impossible for you to always keep the rules. It makes it impossible for you to be perfectly just by keeping rules and by keeping the law. It's impossible for sinners, fallen sinners such as you and I, to be righteous before God. You're going to mess up before breakfast. You really are. No exceptions. You can't keep the law perfectly. There's too much wrong with us. If only humanity would get this. We can't create systems of government that'll create a paradise on earth. There's too much wrong with us. The ideas may be great, the ideologies may be great, but there's too much wrong with us as human beings. Too much wrong in how we think, too much wrong in our motives and in our strivings, in our passions, in our emotions. There's too much wrong with us. And it's too completely wrong for us to be righteous before a holy God by keeping the law. So anybody who's going to put their faith in that and their hope in being righteous before God is going to have false hope. It's going to be disappointed. If not in this life, in the next life you will. As you see, as your failures are pointed out to you, you'll see you just couldn't do it. You didn't do it. And it doesn't matter if you think while you were alive you were Brother Teresa. You just won't cut it by trying to do it yourself. So he gives us a different hope through the Spirit by faith. We ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. What is your hope as a Christian? How strong is it? Can you say that you are eagerly awaiting your hope? Much of the joy of being a Christian or just being human is related to hope. How real that hope is to us. How eager we are to one day realize that hope. How to enable us to serve the Lord with joy and patience in that hope. And here in Galatians 5 verse 5, Paul writes concerning this hope. His hope, what he was waiting for. How he was eagerly waiting for whatever it is he was hoping for. And from his words in these verses and elsewhere, we can glean truths that can make a great difference in our attitude and service as Christians. Consider first what we are eagerly wait for. What are you to eagerly wait for? Because that's what hope does. It eagerly waits for something. What is it? It's the hope of righteousness, the hope of justification, the hope of standing just before God. That's what we are eagerly waiting for. Paul had been writing about justifications in verse 4. He's been writing about it. And justification and righteousness come from exactly the same Greek word, dikaiosune. And so Paul is talking about the hope of being made right, to be made not guilty of sin. They have no other hope of justification than by faith in the Redeemer. That was Paul's hope expressed to the Philippians in Philippians 3 verse 9. It was a hope that sustained him in his last days, in his darkest hours, as he confessed to Timothy. He told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:8, "Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." It was his hope that he was holding on to. And you and I are to have a strong desire coupled with an expectation. That's the meaning of hope, is a strong desire coupled by an expectation. That's what hope is. Strong desire coupled by expectation. That is hope. That's the definition of hope. You and I need to have that regarding our standing before the Lord guiltless of sin. So that's what Paul was eagerly waiting for, but also the Savior from heaven. The Corinthians were eagerly waiting for the revelation of Jesus in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7. Paul was also eagerly waiting for Jesus from heaven in Philippians 3:20. Because for those who eagerly await him, Jesus will bring salvation, we read in Hebrews 9:28. And so that's also to be part of our hope. We are to eagerly wait for the coming of the Lord, for he will bring the righteousness that we hope for. That's what Paul says. We ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness that Jesus will bring. And these are the things that we are to hope for and to wait for eagerly. Our justification from sin, our Savior from heaven, our resurrection from the dead also, because we see thirdly the redemption of our body. Paul also wrote of eagerly awaiting the redemption of our bodies in Romans 8:23. And that has to do with the hope of the resurrection, in which our mortal bodies will be raised up and will have put on immortality. And that's made possible by the coming and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. We eagerly await that glorious transformation in which our bodies, as well as our souls, will be redeemed by the Lord. Went into a store the other day and a young man behind the counter said to me, "I know you see a lot of suffering and a lot of things in the hospitals where you go." And he said, "I want to share something with you. I just became an uncle this afternoon. My sister gave birth to a little baby boy." He says, and he looks so perfect. "I just wanted to share that with you because you see a lot of suffering." And I said, "Well, I'm so happy for you, man. The Lord bless you with your nephew." And as I put my hand out to just touch the side of his face, he just leaned over the counter and embraced me. And there the two of us were hanging over the counter with all the customers looking on and weeping together. And some of the people in the store, they also started weeping. It was quite a moment. What it indicated to me is this thing about the suffering of the body and mortality is something that vexes us far more greatly and we're ready to lead on. When Chris phoned me before this service, he's a doctor, he's a very good doctor, phoned me and told me that he's taking his Daphne to the hospital, that it's a heart condition, and in that composure that Chris has, you know, he says, we're just asking that you pray. He said, of course we'll pray, but I can hear how that feels. To know that the body of somebody you love is not well. Think of Lynn and Johan and Jonathan and others. We hope for this, the redemption of our body. Redemption of the bodies of our loved ones who are suffering. Do we? Those who suffer from autoimmune diseases. I do see them every day. We eagerly wait for the redemption of our bodies. These are the things that we are to hope for and await eagerly. Our justification from sin. Our Savior from heaven. And our resurrection from the dead. That's what we need to eagerly hope for and wait for. So how can we eagerly wait for it? We're told by faith. That's our part. It's to believe. We are to have faith. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait. Faith in what? Faith in sacrifice of Christ. Faith in His coming. Faith that He'll keep His word. And what does it mean to have faith? It means that you know the facts. You know certain facts. First of all, it starts with that. You know the facts. There are certain facts that you are aware of. What are they? The facts of the gospel. What are the facts of the gospel? That has to do with two events that took place. Two irrefutable witnesses to those events. Two realities that arose because of those events. Two promises that are made on the basis of that. And two requirements that are set to you. What are the two events? Jesus died and rose again. Who are the two irrefutable witnesses? The Old Testament who said it would happen that way. And the New that says it did. Two realities that arose because of those events. Jesus reigns as Lord and Savior. Two requirements, two promises made, forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Two requirements to all those who repent and believe. That's the gospel. We can say it in one breath. The gospel is the good news that Jesus died and rose again according to the Old and New Testament. He reigns as Lord and Savior, promises forgiveness of sins and eternal life to all those who repent and believe. To know those facts, to know it as facts, not only to know them, but to assent to them. To stop fighting those facts. To stop fighting the historicity of them. To know that they happened. And to stop fighting the necessity of them. To stop saying it wasn't really necessary for me. But to accept it. To assent to it. So to know it, to assent to it. But thirdly, to act upon it and live your life according to it. To move with it. That's faith. Knowledge, assent, and trust. Know those facts. To accede to them. To trust them. That's our hope. That's our part. We are to have faith. Faith in Christ and His sacrifice and His person and His promises. It's a faith that is Bible-based. A strong conviction in things unseen, in particular in Jesus, which comes through the Word of God, which gives us hope like a light shining in darkness. The eagerness with which we wait is proportional to the degree of faith that we have. The greater your faith, the more your hope will be. And the greater your love. That's our part, is by faith. But God has a part in it too, praise His name. Through the Spirit. We wait eagerly by faith through the Spirit. You see, it's not just us. For through the Spirit, by faith. That's God's part. Strengthened by the Spirit, we wait for the fulfillment of the hope which righteousness by faith instead of by the law ensures to us. Paul wrote of God helping us to abound in hope via His Spirit. We receive the Spirit aid as we walk in the Spirit. That's how. And as we set our minds on the things of the Spirit. And by the way, the Word of God is a thing of the Spirit. We set our mind on that. Ask God for strength by His Spirit. And do it by prayer. The eagerness with which we wait is proportional to the strength we receive from the Spirit. The more you wait, the more the Spirit will strengthen you. The more the Spirit strengthens you, the more you will wait. But we're too busy trying to do it ourselves, isn't it? We got stuff to do. We don't have time to sit around and wait for Jesus. We don't have time to sit and wait for all these spirits. We got things to do. Oh, of course we need His help. Just in case we mess it up and things could. You cannot take one step without the Savior. You can't. Won't work for you. I can tell you that up front. You need to eagerly wait by the Spirit through faith. So as I conclude, what is our hope? What is your hope? Your desire coupled with strong expectation as a Christian. What is it? It should include the hope of righteousness. To be just before a holy God. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. According to the Word alone. To the glory of God alone. We should wait for the Savior's revelation from heaven, for His return, and the glorious resurrection from the dead, the restoration of our bodies. So how strong is your hope? It all depends. Are you growing in faith through the Word? Are you being strengthened by the Spirit through prayer? If so, then you will eagerly await for that which we both desire and expect to see. And that is the Christian hope. Let us pray together. Thank you, Father, for instilling hope in us this evening. And now as we gather at the table, we pray that you do the same through the distribution of that means of grace, in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's always a glorious time to gather at the table. It is so simple. For 2018 years, the devil has been trying to destroy this ordinance. Through twisting it and through taking it away from people, he even told the Romans that the early Christians were committing cannibalism because they were eating the body of somebody in there and drinking his blood, and they were persecuting them because the Romans abhorred cannibalism. That's when it started, and they wanted to stop it, and he's failed. What does that tell you? All of history, the onslaughts that this table has faced through 2 millennia is indescribable. And here we are. Who did that? Who will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it? Stop believing in him. When he says he's going to do something, he always delivers. Also says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll deliver on that too. You just need to trust him by faith. And so here we are. We don't deserve it. The elements remind us of that. The body was broken. The blood was shed. Because we were guilty before him. He bore our guilt. We just sang about it now, didn't we? Our children sang about it also with us now. I saw them. We believe it.
The benediction,
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.